Stay tuned, stay tuned, stay tuned. I am here with Coach John Brown.
I'm here with the vet, Mr. Ian Griffin, author.
Oh, yes.
Military genius.
I don't know about all,
all those things.
Yep, so.
A car builder.
Yes.
All those things.
Yes, yes. I'm here with Mr. Olympia himself. And
not right now, Bubby. I'm blocking.
Cover of GQ magazine and all that stuff. So.
Yeah, it's not GQ. It's OGQ.
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 GQ. Not an X with a, like, for extra, but an X for age.
Yes, yeah. There you go. But you, well, you're not, you know, really there.
So, anyway, 3X. 3X, no, just 2X. So, anyway, moving along. Hey, we're going to talk this little immigration thing here because I heard some rumors, Coach, and I don't know that people will move through several countries and come across our southern border in a brand new white t-shirt on that has Biden and Harris on it, or they'll have new cell phones, or they'll have clean clothes across the border, you know, and then maybe they're not as impoverished, the people that are crossing the border, as we are led to believe.
No.
So I don't know. I mean, do we put them in, we put them, from what I understand, we put them in fine accommodations like soldiers would be in, like a Motel 6 or, you know, or in a tent. We don't do that, do we?
No, they're being set up in all kinds of different places. I think the first thing I want to go back is there's so many people coming across the border. I mean, it's about 100,000 a month, what I'm understanding now, illegally. And I heard a stat, I was listening to C-SPAN the other night, and had a special guy, or a guy that was specialist in that field. And he says, of all the asylum claims, because everybody now is just, they're told how to, they can claim asylum. You know, going 2 and 3 countries away is kind of interesting also. But once they get here, they claim that only 14% that claim ever even get the asylum. But the other 86%, we're putting them here in the country as they're waiting on their trial dates. So that makes no sense. But yeah, so we've been hearing this week that in New York, and it just happened to be when I first read the story, I was like, oh my gosh, I took the girls when I went to New York. We stayed in the same hotel, the Watson Hotel. It's right close to Times Square. It's a great place to be if you're an illegal immigrant trying to see this great country. I mean, it's one of the most happening areas of New York. And they were leaving them there while they had this facility that they're going to have for them, you know, getting ready, get all the bathrooms, get all the bunks and everything set up for them. Well, when they get it all set up, they refuse to go. They do not want to leave this luxurious Watson Hotel at $300, $325 a night. That's what people like me would have to pay. But so instead, their protest is, instead of going to this new facility that's set up for them for food and everything they need, they're going to stay outside on the cold concrete right outside of the Watson to protest being kicked out of the Watson Hotel.
Now, don't misunderstand me. Every citizen in America has a right to protest and all that.
Wait a minute. You said citizen. Okay, go ahead.
Citizen, yes. But it seems to me that these people that are protesting should get some college credit for all the indoctrination that they've been getting all the way, pushed all the way through. Where is it happening at? Because, I mean, I'm just throwing this out there. When you cross Del Rio and go into Acuna, they sell a lot of stuff. But something tells me that they didn't have brand new bleached white Biden hair shirts when they crossed right there in Apple box loads, but they had them somewhere down there. So where's the staging point that we don't want to talk about, that we go and we have the Berkeley and Stanford professors out there doing their all almighty going, you must do this when you come here. Make sure that you tell them this when you come to
here. There's somebody coordinating.
And here, take this new cell phone so I can get in contact with you.
So you know to come to court in 8 months. Yep. And until you have to come to court in 8 months,
all
you're free
things
to be in this country. And you can stay where we want you to stay, or we can put you in this nice hotel, whatever. You get to be in control of it, because if we tell you no, that you can't just stay in this 325 a night, then the politics come aboard and it's involving, it starts making the Watson look bad, or making Republicans look bad, or somebody look bad, because they're not just putting
and,
the bill.
And my deal is, man, we don't have soldiers living that good.
Yeah. Excuse me, that's why
I'm just being honest. I don't know about the Navy, but I can presume. I don't know about the Marines, but I can presume. But I'm just throwing that out there is, wow. I mean, what I would suggest is maybe moving to some of these places where we shut a lot of barracks down and put them there.
I never really thought about that, but what about some of these military bases that had been shut?
Yeah, I mean,
go in there and put a fresh coat of paint on them and put some linens on the bed and let's go.
Yeah, there's a housing area right there up there. Right
oh, on, my God. You
right
know,
in Detroit, right
the PTSD
there.
That would cause the liberal left, that they would have to go to a place
they,
that had
they
done
say,
it at one point.
Because they would all say it's condemned. They would say there's it's no way, right. Even though our sons and daughters who defend our country.
But these gentlemen, say, back to this thing, they're choosing to stay in wintertime outside of the Watson Hotel, because this happened all around there, everything, you know, Times Square, food, people are helping, than to go to a facility that has been set up specifically for people that came across the border illegally.
Okay, so I'm just gonna cast a little shadow out here, because that's just what I'm gonna do. Is I'm just gonna throw it softly. I've been in a war zone in Bosnia where we took goods to people at a refugee camp, and they were grateful for anything that came out of our pocket. I'm not lying on that. I'm gonna tell you how it was. Is we would say, "Where's the restroom at?" And they would have one of the refugee kids take us to the restroom. While we were peeing, they were frisking everything out of our pockets just to steal a ballpoint pen. What was he going to do with the pen? He didn't care.
He's going to trade it, probably.
Exactly. But anything that they could get, that was impoverished. I will say that. So, when I see a woman that is staying in a house that three sides of the house is blown out from war, and it is about 3 feet of snow outside, and she's in her 70s, and she's huddled around a candle, and she has plastic wrap for the other three walls. I think she's cold. I think she's impoverished. That is one scenario. Then I go to Liberia at the end of my career, where it was the fourth poorest nation in the world, where people in America and most people in the Western Hemisphere don't even understand that kind of impoverished right there, in poverty. It's insane. Now, do they have to equate to that? No, they don't. But my God, I promise you, nobody I met in Liberia wanted to protest anything, and nobody I met in Bosnia wanted to protest anything when they were handed things.
I think what we have done is we have this whole thought process that these people come into the land of the city on the hill. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that they see that they need to have the Watson Hotel and they need to have, you know, cell phones and all that stuff. But I think what has happened is we have this one side of our country that's left us feel sorry for everybody in the world mentality and against the big guy, white man, Republicans. The way to look at it is they should receive those things because we are this great country. They should just receive it because we have it. And it's the most unbelievable thing, because people that are fleeing poverty or drug cartels or a civil war three countries over are not expecting these things. And when they get here, like you said, if they got a place to live in a tent or a place to live in a project type situation and three squares a day with a bathroom, they would think they hit heaven.
Yes. And but what we have is this right here. You're the person coming across and go, "I know you want to take care of your family. And I know you just need a meal because you haven't had one in 2 days. I'm going to get you all those meals. And here's the phone that it costs us $1,000 to have this. And you know what? Matter of fact, he's your personal doctor. You know what? Yeah. You go stay in this whole flat here, and this is what you're supposed to have all the time." Right. Well, I don't know.
I mean, it's just free, like free education.
I don't know.
I mean, somehow there's this free thing that I don't know how it's free.
Where is the money coming to finance all this? Probably those last minute budget bills, to be honest.
Could be.
And because, you know, we could spend it on the border as long as it didn't have anything to do with any form of incarceration.
Well, I've always thought that it was really hypocritical that when the border is being overrun and no one in Washington, no one in Northeast, no one that's in politics of you know, in the big city of Washington, D.C. cares anything about it. But the minute that it comes away from Texas or Arizona or New Mexico and starts, you know, being brought into other places, there's this huge humanitarian issue and they need federal dollars, they need federal help. When they're just telling us that to deal with it.
To deal with it.
And, you know, it's crazy.
Have your local budget deal with it. Cut it out of your school budget. Don't worry about it. You know, things like that, because it didn't affect us up in the north. But, you know, we've talked this many times, but this here has been an issue that's been for many years. Now, I want every person that comes across to be treated with dignity and respect. That's the first thing. I want everybody who's trying to seek asylum that fall on the guidelines of what the asylum is to get it done. But what we do need is, we know the laws are jacked up because we're having this fiasco right now. We had this invitation by the president when he became president, him and the vice president publicly came out and said, come everybody, which that's not how we ran rules in the United States before. We would allow so many and then we would kind of crimp down a little bit, and the next year we allow so many, we crimp down a little bit. So now we've had this floodgate open up because of people not understanding the real problem. Instead, they're looking for root causes that a sixth grader can tell you the root causes, you know, and all that. And now we just need some legislation to codify a bill that says this is what our law to come in this
country.
You're
never going to get both sides to agree. Never. You've been hearing this word since I'm 52.
Back
years
in the
old.
Bush days.
You've been hearing this word, comprehensive immigration reform. Yep. And what that pretty much is a big old curse word to the other side.
It is.
From us. When you say that, no, yeah, we've always heard that. You're just cursing me, saying your way is the only way. But, you know, our country started with this whole deal of compromise. Compromise, great compromise, whatever compromise. We don't compromise anymore. And unless there's ever a shift in this country where there's 67% of the country is one way or the other, never going to get anything done like this big. It's just not. Because it takes that majority to do that. So you've got right now, what, about 51-49 on both sides with the percentages. This is going to sit here and just be, if this happens, our borders just get run and run and run and run and run.
What we've done with this is we allow party over the country. And to prove it, to make it even easier, just take the president's words 30-something years ago where he talked about people coming across the border. It's not what it is now because his party changed. Clinton, not because he changed.
Clinton said it.
Changed.
Obama said it. Biden said it. Yeah. Bush said it. We've all said that this is wrong. But now it's not wrong because if you say it's wrong, you're racist or whatever. But what you're going to have is you got the drug czar was down in the South finally. A couple weeks ago, never stepped foot on the border again. The borders are, not the drugs. The borders are was down in the South, in Arizona, did not go to the border.
No, I was.
And she's been the borders are appointed by the president from month one. So you can say that's been almost 2 full years.
Yeah, and he went to the border, but nobody really knew about it. And when he went to the border, let's be honest, he does what the military does a lot. Hey. First sergeant, we got the general coming in. So everybody
clean everything up.
When the general comes in, all the soldiers have got a mouth that's good, that's been in trouble. We move them out, put them on detail somewhere. Yeah. We put all the nice soldiers in front of them.
The same thing with teachers. When we know that we're going to be evaluated next, you say, hey, on next Tuesday from 9:30 to 10:30, we're going to be evaluated. Or they even nowadays, they'll go, which class do you want us to come in? You pick the class that has the least punks in it.
Yep. Yeah.
And what you do then is the 2 or 3 days before, say, okay, these people are coming. On these days, we're going to do this, this, and this. And if you do really well, the next day, we're going to give you a movie.
Yeah.
You know, so you clean it all up. Everything looks great. Things on the wall. They're doing all these group projects. That's not what you do every day. But that's exactly when you know that somebody's coming, that's what you do. It's just human nature. Now, if somebody just drops in, then you see the real thing. But if he just dropped in, then he would see dirty cages and dirty.
He don't
crap.
Want to drop in. Mm-hmm. He didn't even want to be
the
there.
The Biden cages now.
Yeah, he didn't want to be there. He wanted to go to Mexico, but he's like, okay, I'll get my hands back.
I love how the cages names get changed. They were the Trump cages. Then we found out they're really the Obama cages. Yeah. Now they're the Biden cages, but no, they're still the Trump cages. Yeah. Okay, I get it.
They'll take those cages down, build new cages, and it'll still be Trump cages.
I'm going to tell you right now, if they were Trump cages, they'd be gold, and they'd have gold potties in them.
Yeah.
So just be honest.
So. It's crazy, and this is the deal, is this administration has proven they've never taken the border seriously.
No.
Because they haven't been down there, and when they go down there, they ask for a dog and pony show. Plenty of them, so I can put my camera out here.
Well, and I blame a little bit of this on the way that politics has changed, the way that, I'm not going to blame it totally on Trump, but what Trump did is he decided that he didn't care about both sides of the country. I'm going to do what my base wants. If I can just keep my base happy, I have enough to win. Well, now the Democrats realize that their base is 51 or 52% of the country. So what do they want? Oh, they don't really care much about the border like the other side. So that's what we're doing. So now we have base politics.
Both of them is party over country.
Exactly. George Washington was so smart. Why would he come back and bring a musket or two?
Yeah, just spank some people around. Throw his wooden teeth at them or something.
Well, yeah, chew one of them up with it and spit it out.
So we got some issues there.
Always with the border.
And this puts the desperation clause into people. It puts us in doubt on that in regards to some people crossing the border. Now, I'm quite sure there is some, and there's some horrific stories regarding the border. My wife and I watched over a year ago when they had having kids dangle off that wall that just left out there, and you're just like, It's a 5-year-old. Holy smoke. I mean, that brought tears to my eyes. You know, there's some real issues here that, let's be honest, is our elected officials don't give a flying flip.
Well, on. So, last thing I'll say on is, you know, there's been about 100,000 a month since the, you know, Biden has taken office. So let's just say that there's been 2 million asylum seekers. That just means 140,000 really were, or excuse me, 280,000 are really asylum.
Yeah.
The rest are just here.
But that's the population of like states like New Mexico, North Dakota, South Dakota, population in Montana.
So it's not that we want to help those 280,000 that are really in an asylum issue.
We have a whole state's worth of people coming in.
But we have 1.7 million other that are here. That didn't go, they don't just go home when they get the call, you didn't make it. Yeah. They have to either be picked up and taken, and they're not doing that anymore. They have to get some arrested for something, and then they get deported.
Yeah, it's ridiculous because there's so many scenarios involved in this. Is, you know, will they become members of society? Will they vote? Will they pay taxes? All those things. I mean, we've got a state's worth of people that we've allowed because a president said, I want to pander my party. It's open, guys. Y'all happy now? Thank you. Thank you, Nancy. Thank you, Chuck. And yeah, we're happy.
One thing I want to give you on deportation, this is 100% true that's going on. I have an inmate in my facility that's got a 10-year sentence for an assault charge out of Austin, Texas. He got a 10-year because he is here and it's a felony and he was here illegally. He doesn't get parole. Most of them get parole after about 5-6 years on a 10-year sentence. So he has to stay here his whole 10. 10 years ago, when this was first going on and he got arrested and charged, he immediately was told, as soon as your sentence is over, we're going to put you on a plane and send you back, you're deported. Mm-hmm. So he just found out recently, though, they're not the way they're doing it anymore. So what happens is 3 months before his sentence is over, he'll be sent to the Walls unit at Huntsville. The week before he gets out, his 10 years will be over, he'll call ICE and say he's going to be out at this time at 9 a.m. They will put him in segregation at 8:30 that morning. And at 9 o'clock, they're just waiting for ICE to come pick him up. If ICE does not show up within 72 hours, the doors open and he hits the streets in Huntsville. That's the way the system works right now.
On the other side, on a different case, people that's been here 5 and 10 years, they have not got their citizenship. And then we go in, and they've lived here most 3/4 of their life, okay? Then we deport them. Where do we deport them to? They don't even know.
They never lived there.
Don't even know where they're going. Yeah. So it's both sides. So this is why there has to be some reform on this, because that answer needs to be resolved. Think about this. Somebody comes to your house and say, hey, you're just not a citizen no more. We're throwing you in Bolivia. You don't even know where the hell Bolivia is.
No, I don't even know. And maybe don't even speak their language. Yes. Never had a job there. Never got education there. What are you going to do?
I mean, so there's some issues here that are legitimate.
But I don't think what we do is put them up at the Watson or the Waldorf and all these hotels on our dime. Yeah, that's what we got. We made a decision to do that for a temporary space until these facilities were done. You either go there or you hit the street. Well, now they're going to the homeless population. That's not my deal.
I don't want them in crack houses, but I don't want them in the nicest hotel in the town either. What I want is the same standards you apply to a soldier and put them in those places like that.
There you go. Amen. You know, all right, brother.
So, from the coach
to the vet.
Stay tuned.